Good morning, everybody. Sabah al khair, and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. My name is Hind Al-Dah, and I am here with
Abdul Majid Awan.
Abdul Majid, how are you feeling today?
Very good. It's the mid of the week.
The mid of the week,
the
yes.
Weekend is near. So,
yeah. You're looking forward to the weekend?
Always looking forward to the weekend.
So before we get on to our main stories, let's have a little snippet of mini stories that we can talk about before moving on to the bigger stories. Firstly, the Fix chocolate bar, also known as the Dubai chocolate, has been going very viral in recent weeks. But recently, there has been controversy because the owner has put up a statement being like, there have been fake
resellers,
basically resellers selling it for a very high price. Even recently, I've seen on Instagram that somebody paid almost 900 dirhams for chocolate bars. It was different chocolate bars, but nonetheless, almost 1,000 dirhams for some chocolate.
The dupes, as you call them, they're going for upwards of 500, 600 dirhams. And the bad part is the quality is not that which this Dubai chocolate promises. And she, in the post, clearly says that it's only available in Dubai. It's only available through Deliveroo. So I've heard stories of some people in US and Canada also saying that some very little quantity is available in some stores. And again, 3x, 5x, 10 times the price as well. So it's really going viral. But the bad part is it shows that when you become a business through something very viral, you need to quickly learn the ins and outs of business. You need to learn distribution. You need to learn expansion. And for her, I guess she wrote in the post that they're trying to expand to other cities and countries.
Isn't hopefully that amazing, though, that a Dubai-born or Dubai-based chocolate brand is being seen in many different parts of the world?
This region every day does something new, which amazes the world. And that is the my favorite part about this region and UAE specifically and Dubai, if you're talking about the Emirates. So it's a good thing. Hopefully, they figure out the distribution soon. They figure out their operations. They expand because the hype, we've seen a lot of viral media products, be it shirts, be it mugs, be it anything. Fix chocolate, for example. If they become viral, they have to figure out distribution and expansion soon as possible before the fever dies down. Otherwise, they won't be able to capitalize on the opportunity and earn a lot of money that they can make easily in the first year of the company. So hopefully, let's see.
I think another thing also is to make the brand name known, because on social media, it's just known as Dubai chocolate. And that's a problem. I think that's also a problem with other brands. So, for example, Kleenex, you usually refer to all kinds of tissue paper. But that's a problem for the brand because it's like, well, you're not really referring to our brand. It's just tissue paper in general. So I think this brand should kind of
be aware of that. It's a whole study on this idea that brands need to make their name a market leader. For example, detergents. Surf in Pakistan, from where I come from, Surf is the go-to name for detergents. So there's a brand Surf Excel. So everyone calls it Surf. So they did something really good. They made a name for themselves. So yeah, if Fix Chocolate most probably want to make themselves viral, they need to come back to their original name as well and maybe use Dubai Chocolate for marketing, but then return the people back to Fix. Because chocolate, everyone says chocolate to chocolate. But they need to associate their brand with Fix now. So let's see, hopefully. So someday we will be saying, let's have a Fix. Like you say, let's have a break, let's have a Kit Kat. Remember,
that's
nice. Slogan is the best.
They should trademark that, what you just said.
So hopefully they'll figure out the business aspect of it. The virality, they figured it out. It was a hit. Let's hope they figure out the business as well.
Let's move on to our second short story. Emirates retrofitted
B777s. Yeah, it's basically Boeing 777s that Emirates retrofitted, and they flaunted it all over social media that we have, oh, a new business class with inverted seats. The seats will not be facing the cockpit, they'll be inverted. So now they've announced that the flights will also land in Zurich and Riyadh starting October 2024. It's a good sign that they're trying these new planes in other regions as well to see if people actually like them. in the business class sitting inverted. I won't like it. I don't know. I just have an idea. Let's see when I sit and figure it out. But they've already retrofitted 35 planes and they're planning to retrofit 17 more with the inverted business class section. So by the end of November, they're thinking that they'll be done with the 42 planes. And they'll roll it out and maybe they'll add more flights, more destinations, so other people in the country, in the world, can experience the inverted business class.
Mm-hmm. So, I think it's interesting to people because it's different. And
yes,
that's the only reason.
Yeah, because
honestly.
I saw a comment on social media and it made sense. It was like, okay, the alone seat on one side is good. The seat on the right side is good, but the two people sitting in the middle, if they're not related, the partition in between is very small. So it's like sitting in an economy class, but with a bigger seat.
Okay.
So yeah, it made sense, but maybe people like it. People who will fly into it, they can tell us better. So soon we'll have the reactions coming from
some
people.
Some reviews.
And yeah, we will be able to gauge how good it is actually.
Yeah.
And the last tidbit, small story that we're going to talk about, it's a very hardcore business story that UAE national banks have lent $13.48 billion. That's a lot of money. They've lent out in the first half of 2024. That's a 4.5% rise from the H1 of 2023 last year. This shows that businesses in Dubai, businesses in Abu Dhabi, Sharjah, all the Emirates and in the UAE, have easy access to money now, easy access to loans and credit now. So hopefully it will be good for businesses and expansion and people can take money, start new projects, eventually will add to the UAE economy. So this is one news that we saw. Now let's move to our main stories.
Let's move on to our main stories. Arab youth unemployment levels high, Middle East travel bookings drop amid escalating tensions, and Starbucks announces new CEO. So the continued rise in youth unemployment signals a growing challenge in the Middle East, potentially worsening socioeconomic disparities and fueling instability. Countries like Saudi Arabia and the UAE have made progress, thankfully, but the overall situation remains highly critical. As economic growth shows resilience, improvements are expected by 2025. However, the real success hinges on engaging more younger people in the region with quality jobs and also reducing the gap between the move from education to employment.
Yeah, you talked about UAE and Saudi, the emiratization project in UAE and the nationalization project in Saudi Arabia. Again, I always refer to my recent trip to Saudi Arabia. I had a chat up with a lot of young people and they're very happy with it. They want to be part of the workforce. They want to contribute to the country, the city and the country's economy eventually. So it's a good sign that these areas are setting an example for the other Arab countries, that this is how it can be done.
Yes.
So we saw that out of the 12 Arab countries, 8 countries had a very bad decrease. And one of them is like a conflict zone. But Egypt also saw a drop in employment. So let's see. Hopefully, the good thing about it is that someone is setting an example. But the bad thing is that someone needs to follow the example.
Yes.
The rate hit like 28% last year. In 2023, the report says that unemployment was at 28%. As Hind mentioned, that in 2025, they're saying that it will drop down to 27.5.
Hopefully.
But it's still not a stark contrast. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that much. So maybe, hopefully.
Yeah. These levels have been the worst since, have been worse now than pre-COVID levels. So potentially because, you know, COVID had a lot of effect on the economies in the Arab region. So we'll hopefully see an increase, as you said. Hopefully the other countries will see how Saudi Arabia and the UAE have been successful in their efforts to nationalize their job programs. And maybe they will follow suit as well.
So yeah, mentioning the Saudi Vision 2030 for like 1 millionth time. And Dubai's D33 economic agenda and the country's 2071 centennial plan. All these plans that you see on social media or in news, these plans are being put in place to make access to education and eventually employment easier not only for the nationals, for everyone. Mm-hmm. Eventually, see, if UAE nationals come to work for the country, for any private company or government, it will help the country itself. Saudi people working for Saudi Arabia helps the country as well. So all these projects will help. They're not just like to bring in billions of dollars to the country. The distribution of that money that will come in through these projects is also going to be important. Mm-hmm. And it will be distributed among the people, obviously. So, yeah, that's it from this story. Moving on to the next big story. Middle East travel bookings dropped by 7% amid the conflict, the fears of the war that is being said can happen anytime, maybe. Yesterday, there was a statement by US that Iran's attack on Israel is imminent. There's a very high chance. So because of these tensions in the Middle East region, a lot of people are avoiding to travel to this region. So there has been a 7% drop in bookings. There's a report that said that. So it's not bad. I guess the drop can also be associated to the summertime in this region.
Possibly.
But yes, the data shows that it is also because of the tensions that are going on in the region.
But it's interesting because it's not affecting all the countries in the Middle East the same way. Right. So Jordan and Lebanon are seeing the most significant declines.
Yeah.
However, the UAE and Qatar are actually experiencing a rising demand in flights to the countries.
See, UAE has developed itself over the past decade as a tourist hub. So, and the safety and security that it promises is also one of the biggest factors. Yesterday, I also saw that there was a report that said that Abu Dhabi is one of the safest countries, safest cities in the world right now. And then you add Dubai, Riyadh, Jeddah, all of these countries. So they made up like the top 10 or top 15 list. So this shows that some people who have traveled to this region, they know that whatever is happening in the Middle East doesn't affect these countries or cities.
Thankfully.
So they're happy to come here.
Yes.
We also did a story about the rising insurance numbers that a lot of people are taking travel insurance
travel
now.
Insurance.
So combine that with this story, they're happy to come here, happy to enjoy the hospitality of these countries. Airlines, we saw suspended a few flights also. But still, a lot of factors are contributing to this 7%. I won't say it's just the conflict. Yes, next, let's move on to our last story of the day. The biggest news of the past week, I guess. Maybe something happens tomorrow. But right now, Starbucks have announced a new CEO. And they've replaced... wait, one second. I lost it.
Laxman Naresh... Sorry, I do not know how to pronounce his name, but it's Laxman Narasimhan.
Oh, yeah.
The Indian-American businessman, and they have replaced him with Brian Nicol.
Yes.
So currently, the CFO will take Brian's place until he officially takes the CEO position in September.
So Laxman Narasimhan, yes.
Thank you.
We're pronouncing it correctly. Sorry if we're mispronouncing it. But Laxman Narasimhan was hired in September 2022. So he's been in the job for nearly 1.5 years. It's not been long. But the boycott that we always talk about, we saw McDonald's share prices and their profits decline. We saw Starbucks lost nearly 3% of their business in the first half of 2024, according to a report. So all of these factors are putting pressures. Now the pressure is being felt by the CEOs.
Yes. So it's not even just that. There have been a lot of controversies with Starbucks and the Starbucks union workers with a lot of, namely the Palestinian boycotts and also because of pride-related issues, some claims that they can't fly pride flags. So that also provided an issue for Starbucks. So their sales fell 33% in the first half of 2024.
So there's this Harvard Business Review study that I was just reading. I Googled new CEO of Starbucks and this study popped up. And it says how to survive a new CEO. So it has like potential ideas what you can do to survive a new CEO. Because generally what we've seen throughout the world, when a new CEO comes, he always nearly brings a CFO with him. Because again, mostly everything about a business is related to the money that the business is making. So they bring in a new CFO. But there's three main points that the Harvard Business Review suggests. Firstly, show support and adaptability. So whenever a new CEO comes in, however he wants to work, if he has a new idea of how things should be, adapt to it as quickly and show support that, yeah, we're in your corner. Because sometimes silence can be considered as opposition. Maybe like you were in support of the last CEO and not the new CEO. The second point is that you align with the CEO's priorities. If the CEO wants a new workflow, go with it. If the CEO wants to cut some budgets, go with it. Whatever the new CEO prioritizes, it's your new priority as well. And the last point is
to be transparent, which goes with the first point, and also engage. So offer honest assessments of the department and to stay actively involved in significant projects, not just, you know, be there as a CEO, but actually involve yourself with the company and the staff, and also ensure visibility during the CEO's early days to build trust and demonstrate your value.
If you're doing the work, show it to this new CEO. Yes. Because if there is if the axe falls, maybe your neck will be saved.
Yes.
So yeah, these are the three things that you can do to survive a new CEO. Starbucks people, you can take a note of this.
One thing we didn't mention about this new CEO is he's actually also CEO of Chipotle, which is a burrito, American-owned burrito brand or restaurant chain in the US.
So maybe he brings that new thing to Starbucks, because we've seen in the past 5 years since I've started following Starbucks, they haven't done really something really new. Regionally, they introduced new drinks, new coolers in UAE, new something everywhere, but they haven't done something extraordinary. Like if you talk about big brands, Nike, obviously they're a different category, but if you talk about McDonald's, they always come up with something new.
Always
obviously, we're boycotting them.
Yeah. But they always bring in collaborations.
Yeah. See, the McDonald's new value deals that we always talk about because of the boycott, but they did something. Starbucks hasn't been doing something. So maybe he brings in some new ideas to take Starbucks to a new direction and maybe avoid the this part is funny about every news that we do. They saw 3% drop in profits. So you have to understand, it's not a loss. The business is still making profits. It's just that if they were supposed to make 1 billion this year, they made 97 million.
There you
go. Yeah. So the drop is in profit, not in it. They're not going into loss. So maybe the boycott needs to be a little more stronger to throw them in loss. But such big conglomerates, they have their eggs in so many baskets. Mm-hmm. It's nearly impossible to throw them into loss or bankruptcy. So, but again,
but it still affects them in small ways. So there's that to think about.
And this is not a small way. They changed the CEO.
Yes.
So it's a big change. And this is a good find for the boycotters who think that some people who think they don't work, it's actually working. Mm-hmm. They're bringing in a new CEO because of the revenue fall. And for some people who think that it works, thumbs up to you. It's working. So hopefully we'll see you tomorrow again. And follow us on all the social media channels, wherever you can find us, Smashy Business. And we have a daily newsletter which goes out. You can subscribe to it. You can find all the links online. Just Google Smashy Business Show and put a newsletter, Instagram, Facebook. You'll find us. Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you for joining us.